Well, we're going to get started this morning. Before we do that, though, are you guys would you all like to celebrate a miracle? Would you enjoy that? You would like doing that? Do you guys believe God still does miracles, right? Gorman and Whitney, come here. Oh, miracles still happen. Share with us.
I'd rather be up here singing. Ugh. April of 2014, we had desires woken up in us to become parents. We found out we were pregnant. We're a few months into our marriage. It was exciting. And within a few days, you know, my heart, and like that a baby's gonna call me daddy, you know. And it just woke up that desire in us. And then we miscarried. We were hit pretty hard in that season. It was months after that, it would go. We'd next month, the next month, next month, and it was just disappointment, and our hearts grew weary. We were lulled to sleep by the enemy, and we needed correction, but we also had covering. And I'm thankful for the leadership here. Thank you for the pastors here. They'll correct and they'll cover. And through that, you know, months after months, like I said, our hearts were still desiring. I said, God, you know, if this is not as, you know, take this desire from me. He made it stronger. It's been a long time. But through that, God started to heal. We've had a great support system. If you're not in a life group, get plugged in. We have friends who have walked with us, friends who have encouraged us. And without that, without being plugged in and without having the heartbeat of this house, we wouldn't have made it. And so, as we're up here, like when we lead worship, we try to make it genuine, you know. We're ministering to you. It's ministering to us. You're a God of miracles. You know, I believe in you. Let faith arise despite of what I feel. You know, Lord, I believe. Sometimes it was hard to sing those words. And through that, God started to peel back layers and heal. And through that, our crying out for it, like we already knew it was promised. And we felt that the roughest waters were there and the waves were just crashing in. We didn't feel like we weren't going to make it. There'd come a vision. Whitney holding the baby. My God, why do you keep doing this? Take it from me if you don't want to have it. And through that, you know, we started grabbing onto that promise, and holding that promise close, and declaring that promise. He started speaking life over that child. He started to dream. And just last night, we were listening, you know, to the lesson. I was like, we have to share. You know, I just hope our personal breakthrough brings corporate breakthrough. And we started to praise in that. We started to praise God and hold on to that promise and hold it close and hold it dear and start declaring things. And sure enough, he answered. There's a baby in there. It's been a long time. But he is faithful. Love you guys.
We're going to pray over you.
Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, your promises are yes and amen. Lord, you can be trusted. You can be trusted. God, we can stand on your word. Lord, your word never fails. Lord, this earth will pass away, but your word, it will remain, Lord. Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you, God, that you can be trusted. And Father, we pray over Gorman and Whitney. Lord, we pray over baby Gorman right now. Yes. By the way, his name is Jonathan, so we don't know if this is Gourmet or Gourmet. But Father, we're thankful for the seed, the life that is in Whitney's womb. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the destiny on this child's life, God. Lord, this child is a child of promise, just as all children are. Yes. Lord, even before this baby was in Whitney's womb, Lord, you knew him or her. And Lord, you've predestined this child to be a son and a daughter of God. And Father, we speak life over this womb. We speak health over this womb. We speak strength to Whitney's body right now. Father, we speak strength to Gorman and Whitney's faith, Lord, that it would not fail. Father, we declare health and wholeness right now in the name of Jesus for your glory, Lord, for a testimony of what God can do. For with man, there's many things that are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, we declare life in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are excited to celebrate the birth of this child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Amen. Woo. I'm not even having the baby and I'm excited. I'm excited I'm not having the baby. No, we were trying to count how many different... there's just always babies being born here and we've checked the water and stuff. Everything's cool. We like babies, all right? Can you connect me back there, guys? And we'll get going this morning. So we rejoice and celebrate with Gorman and Whitney. Tomorrow night, we are very excited. The Lord has been dealing with my heart. We shared last week just a real mandate on this house, and that is to bring racial reconciliation to our city. We feel like we are, and by the way, we are not the only church or the only house that has that heart, but we know for this house, that is one of the calls that is upon us. And the Lord has instructed me to tomorrow night, our pastors and myself, together with all of our African-American brothers and sisters here at Restoration House, as well as our Hispanic and Latino brothers and sisters, for an evening of sharing and discussion. Being a predominantly white congregation, moving into a predominantly African-American neighborhood, we need to take a season to prepare our hearts and our understanding, our minds, to host and love, and this, better understand the experiences and the cultures that we will host. You can love someone and not understand them, right? You can love them and not understand them. How many has been married? Okay. By the way, if you're here today for the start of our marriage series, I'm just kidding. We're starting it. Okay. We are and will be a multi-ethnic church. We will see the blending of hearts and experiences under the banner of Jesus Christ. We will all become one new man in Christ, right? In Christ, there's no longer any Jew or Gentile. What does that mean? Bring it down to 2017. There's no longer white man, black man, brown man, and red man, and yellow man, and all peach and pink man. We're one new man. Now, we're not saying that you don't celebrate God made you that color. He made you, and he allowed you to grow up in the different experiences and such. So we're not saying don't celebrate it, but don't let it be a point of division. let it be a point of celebration. And so we're going to take tomorrow night, and we're going to gather together here at Restoration House at 6:30. Now, a ton of y'all said you's coming, but you ain't text me yet. And I got a problem with that. So take your phone right now. Right now. If you're coming tomorrow night, don't text me yet, because Alondo's working on my phone. I forgot. All right? But as soon as church is over, text me, and we want to see you here tomorrow night. And really, that all that is, it's going to be just a time of sharing heart and just really, really hearing below the surface. And we want to do this right, church. Amen? We want to love people correctly. We want to love them with pure hearts, definitely pure motives. But we want to love them in such a way that when they encounter us, they encounter the Father. So let's do that tomorrow night. And men, I really need you here. I love our ladies, but men, I need you here, okay? I need to hear from you, okay? I need you here tomorrow night. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And today, if you'll go ahead and bring up the screen there, we are launching a wonderful new message series entitled Two Will Become One. Wow, how does that happen? How does two become one? This series is designed to equip you and encourage you, no doubt shape you. And you in your marriage or your future marriage, we got any people hoping for a future marriage here? Yeah? If you're a single here today, I do want to encourage you. You need this message series, okay? This is for you. This is not a time to take a vacation. You need to be here ready to take notes. But this is designed to encourage you in your marriage, equip you in your marriage, and position you to experience an exciting, fulfilling, happy marriage. Happy as in blessed. How many would like a happy marriage? How many would like an exciting marriage? Okay, some of y'all are a little unsure, and you're weird. You're weird for that. Okay? No, I believe that all of you, that's why you got married. You felt like becoming married was a positive, and some of you, over time, marriage has grown to become a negative. Well, I believe that God wants to change that for you. Singles who want to be married in the future, I'm sure that you are dreaming and believing of stepping into an exciting, fulfilling, blessed marriage. And we want to equip you and prepare you for such a marriage. After 10 years of pastoring, many, many people, I don't know how many people we've had the privilege of pastoring over this 10 years. I've had a front row seat to many marriages and many, many families. And I believe that I'm convinced more than ever today that strong marriages and contented singles, all right? We're going to talk about singleness and what it looks like to be content in singleness. But I believe that strong marriages and contented singles are the fabric of a strong church and a blessed nation. I believe that more than ever before, that is true. If the marriages within the church are weak, broken, and dysfunctional, thank you, the church and its imperfect people that are called to impact people, the church and its impact on people in the city will in fact be weak and ineffective. When the world encounters the church, it should encounter healthy and happy marriages. Amen? When the world steps into the church, it should also witness healthy and happy marriages. And I believe that you're going to grow. Your marriage is going to be blessed through this series. If you come with a teachable spirit, okay? If you come with a know-it-all, you're going to realize you don't know it all. And maybe your spouse has been trying to tell you that. But you're going to find, I'm so pumped about this series. So excited. I want to begin our series this day by stating a couple of things. I want to state a couple of things. First of all, this series will be our first series, our first marriage series ever in our 10-year history. No. Did you all hear? Did everybody's phone just go off? That's weird. That is a conspiracy theory. I just heard other people's phone go off. Wow. Apple's trying to check in. Well, this will be our first series, and I want to say this, that I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that, and I take full responsibility for that reality as senior pastor. There have been times where I wanted to share such a series, but I'm going to be honest with you, church, I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel qualified. Actually, there's been times where I felt the least qualified. Now, Sarah and I love one another, okay? We deal with a lot of pressures, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just stating a reality. We deal with a lot of pressures that some will never deal with because of the call upon our life. And a lot of times you can get so focused on doing ministry that you fail to be ministered to. And you fail to take those seasons where God wants you to focus on growth. And I've already talked with my wife about this series. Because I did not want to stand before you and say one thing with my mouth and live another thing with my heart. So I want to tell you that first of all, I'm sorry for not leading you in this area long before now. And I ask you to forgive me. It's not going to be that way any longer. Second of all, I want to ask you if you've ever seen me not loving my wife like Christ loves the church. At any time, I want to ask you to forgive me. My wife is serving, or I would actually probably bring her up here and embarrass her and stuff like that. But no, I've already shared with her what I would be doing this morning. And I hope that you sense the sincerity. I hope that you understand that this isn't being done for brownie points, but I'm doing this so that I'm in right standing with the Lord as I step into this message series. And so I love my wife, and my wife loves me. We don't have the perfect marriage, but I can assure you that in this season, our desire to be perfected is stronger than it's ever been. And so you're going to watch us grow, and you're going to watch us change. And so let the validity of the word be the word alone, okay? The Lord is just downloading so much through this series. I had already planned to hold off. I was planning on speaking a totally different message this Sunday. And as I continued to prepare and study, the Holy Spirit said, no, this is the day. You've got to start this. So we're starting it today. Our goal is to build our marriage in such a way that you can comfortably and confidently look at us, me and Sarah, as a model marriage. I hope that there is a moment in our life that you can look at us and say, that's a marriage that I can follow. That's a marriage that I can pattern my marriage after. Okay, even with our scars and bruises, you can look at us and you can see that the work of grace and truth in our lives. By the grace of God and your love and your prayer, we're going to arrive at that place of great strength in our own marriage. So how many pray for your pastors? I hope you do. I hope you do. We pray for you. I hope that you pray for us. As we begin today's message and our new series, I want to ask you again to forgive me. And I don't want to make a vow that I can't uphold, but it is our desire to regularly, if not once a year, definitely very often, to minister a marriage series to this church. So that is what our goal is, and I hope that we can honor that. Throughout this series, many truths will come to light, and you will no doubt hear things concerning marriage and your role and your response in your marriage for the first time. I really want to encourage you to remain teachable, okay? I understand that some of you right now, your marriage is very broken. I understand that many of you right now are hurting in your marriage. I understand that. You're in the right place, okay? You're in the right place. The healer is here. The healer is here. The God of restoration is here. He can restore. He can reconcile. He can do miracles. He can take the wasted places, the broken places, and he can lift them up. And so you're in the right place. But I want to encourage you that there's going to be things that you're going to hear for the first time. And you've got to ready yourself to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. See, there's something wonderful about hearing truth. There's something wonderful. Immediately, it brings comfort. It awakens hope. But if you walk out of this place and you're not ready to do what you've heard, Scripture says in James that we actually deceive ourselves. We trick ourselves. We give ourselves this hope that fades. And so I want to encourage you this morning to position yourself to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I'm believing that you're going to be filled with hope. I believe, and my goal today is to fill your heart with hope, to awaken change today. You're going to be encouraged, but you're going to be changed. Some folks don't like change. Well, I want to tell you, your marriage has got to change. Even if you say, Brad, I got a pretty good marriage. Listen, it's about to get better. We're going to spend 5 Sundays in this series, and even with 5 Sundays, we cannot begin to cover all the truth treasures that God has for your marriage or your future marriage. And that's for you singles, okay? There is no way that we can cover everything, the depth of God's riches, his truth treasures, when it comes to all God has to say about marriage, okay? But we're going to light a fire, and we're going to awaken a desire for you to grow. And we're actually going to give you resources so that you can begin to purposefully nurture and steward your marriage even beyond this series, okay? How many want a great marriage? Come on, let me see you. If you want a great marriage, some of y'all don't want a great marriage. Slap them, wife. This is your moment. No. I want us to do something real quickly. I want us, before we even get into this message, I want us to make a declaration. Do y'all know what declarations are and what proclamations are? Okay, there's power in declaration. We're going to make a declaration together. I want us to read from this screen, and I want us to make this declaration together. Can we do it? Here we go. God has a wonderful plan for my marriage. He loves me, and he wants to bless me with a happy marriage. No matter the present condition of my marriage, God wants it better. God can improve my marriage. God can transform my marriage. God can resurrect and restore any marriage. God has the power to heal all broken marriages, revive weak marriages, and position all future marriages so that his children will experience great joy, passion, and happiness within marriage. Amen? That's good. Teach us to clap, Lord. Teach us to clap. Man, that's a wonderful declaration. That's a screenshot right there, guys. Come on, begin to declare that over your life. You know, faith comes by hearing. By the way, everything we've said in that declaration is founded on God's word. We didn't make anything up. That's God's promise. That's God's desire for you and your marriage. And begin to speak life. If life and death is in the power of the tongue, start speaking life over your marriage. Start speaking life over your future, the future condition of your marriage. I assure you, if you'll remain teachable and humble, ready to respond to the revelation of God's word, the instruction. You know, God's word isn't just for comfort. It's for action. It's for action. We hear it. We've got to act on it. If we want to experience the promises of God's word, we've got to embrace the power of God's word. We've got to walk it out. And if you'll remain open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a new marriage. Singles who desire to be married, I want to encourage you to please take it all in. Take notes. Don't enter into a broken marriage or a broken relationship. Prepare yourself for a good marriage. Those in a marriage who feel that your marriage is too broken to fix, I want to tell you right now, that's a lie. That's a lie. Those of you who feel that your marriage is too far gone. It's too broken. That we're just, you know, we're just going to live out the rest of our days, you know, just kind of agreeing to get along. Well, I want to tell you that's a lie. Your marriage is not too far gone. God is a redeemer. God is a restorer of what is broken. You may be in what you feel is a broken or dysfunctional marriage, and that may very well be true as of today, but it doesn't have to stay there. It doesn't have to stay there. Your marriage is not too far gone, and your marriage is not broken beyond repair. Go ask Lazarus. Lazarus. They thought he was gone. 3 days gone. His body had begun to decay. But just one word from Jesus, just one command from Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. The Lord wants to speak over your Lazarus marriage today. And he wants to say, marriage, come alive, come alive, come alive. You might be asking, Brad, okay, I get it. You're saying that my marriage is not broken beyond repair, but why do I hurt so much, Brad? Why do I hurt so much in my marriage? And I don't want to make light of your pain, and I don't want to make light of your problem, because some of you right now, your marriage is there's a lot of pain in your marriage. We're not going to dismiss that. But I want to say this, that your marriage isn't what is broken. Your understanding of marriage is what is broken. And your understanding is what is lacking. And your heart, meaning your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions need transformed, or what Scripture calls renewed. You need to be healed. You don't need to feel offended as I make this point. I don't want you to be offended at what I'm about to say, but I want this truth to awaken a desire for something new. Let me just go ahead and say, the way you've been doing it, it ain't working for you. I remember when I was preparing to set on this weight loss journey, and I was seeing a dietitian, right? I'd already read every book and watched every YouTube video and tried every diet. Why don't I go and like pay a professional and let them talk to me? I remember the first few sessions, I kept making excuses, and my dietitian got up and she shut the door. I knew something was about to go down when you shut the door. And she said, Brad, I am tired of you giving me excuses. Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm paying you. What? You better watch out. She was a believer. And up until that point, she had remained, quote unquote, professional. But she said, we know the same God. I know the Bible that you know. And your Bible tells me and you that we can do all things through Christ. So stop saying you can't. And she said, Brad, if you knew how to do this, you wouldn't be sitting in my office. You got a point. You got a point. Okay, I'll listen to you. Praise God for boldness. Praise God for love that is willing to correct. Praise God for love that is willing to confront. She awakened something in me. She didn't do the work, but she awakened a courage and a desire to think in a way that I'd never thought before. That is my desire for you today in your marriage. I want to encourage you. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose today? If your marriage is broken, listen to me closely, meaning it causes you constant or repeated pain. Not just hard, but it hurts. And you're constantly entertaining the way out. It's because broken people, as opposed to whole people, and by the way, whole people aren't perfect people, they're just whole people. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a whole person. But if your marriage is broken, it's because broken people are in the marriage. And broken people, inadvertently, that means without meaning to or unknowingly, always break people. And no matter how good things might get, they always remain broken. Do I need to say that again? If your marriage is broken today, it is because, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way, it is because broken people are in that marriage. And broken people inadvertently, unknowingly, will hurt people and continue in hurt, in pain, brokenness. They'll stay there. So through this series, it's not about God healing your marriage. It's about God healing you. It's about God doing a work in your heart. Now, the risk in making that point is that someone would be offended at being told that. And by the way, the only person that would be offended at hearing you're broken is a broken person. Okay? Someone who has humility, who says, you know what, Brad? You're right. You're right. And that's what I had to say in that office one day. I had to say, you know what? You got me. You're right. I just paid you to confront me. Many of you are hurting in your marriage, and your hurt continues to feel hurt. And I believe God wants to heal you through this series. We're going to talk about wounds. We're going to talk about God's power to heal. And do not let your pride put up a wall right now. Brad, I don't got any wounds. It's her fault. It's his fault. If he wouldn't have done this, we wouldn't be where we are. If she hadn't done this, if she would start doing this, you know, we wouldn't be where we are. You're already showing signs of resistance. You're already putting up the walls of pride, and God will not bust those walls down for you. See, those are walls that you have to remove yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you know what he'll do? The trade-off is he'll exalt you. He will lift you up. God wants to lift your marriage to a new height. If your marriage is broken today, it's because one of you or both of you are neglecting or possibly by choice refusing. You know, some people get stubborn. You ever met a mule? As opposed to a horse? A mule is very set in its ways, and some of us are a bit mulish in our marriage. But if your marriage today is suffering today, it's because one of you or both of you are neglecting because of a lack of knowledge, or possibly you know what you should be doing, but you are refusing to do marriage God's way. Or you don't know God's way for marriage. Anything that God makes, he makes perfect. And guess what? God made marriage. God made marriage. Marriage is God's idea. God birthed marriage. He started marriage. God made marriage, and God never makes anything to fail. God always makes what he makes to work. He always makes what he makes to win. He made marriage to work, and your marriage can be a good marriage if you learn to do marriage God's way and not man's way. Or let's get real. If you'll stop doing marriage your way, you'll start to experience a marriage that you've never known. You don't need a new spouse. You don't need a new marriage. You need a new you. Marriage is designed by God. And it's designed by God to get better every year. Oh, yeah. Marriage gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. This is God's design. This is God's desire that your marriage get better year after year if you do it his way. But the opposite is true. Marriage will get worse year after year. And some of y'all, you're getting ready. You're going, amen. No, don't amen on this, okay? The opposite is true. Marriage will grow worse year after year if you continue to do it any other way except for God's way. And don't fool yourself. Listen, if you cannot clearly state and explain God's way for marriage, meaning his purpose in marriage, his plan for marriage, his desire for marriage, you are not yet doing it God's way. If you can't state it, you don't know it. And if you don't know it, you can't live it. If you can't teach it, it's because you don't know it. If you can't come and with your spouse and sit down with another couple and guide them through the ditches and the valleys and the mountains and the pains of their marriage, then you do not yet know God's plan for marriage. But God wants to teach you. He wants to teach you. He wants to bring to light what He has to say about marriage, because He created it. And He created it to work. He created it to work. God wants your marriage to work. He wants you to win in your marriage. He wants you to experience a happy marriage. Yes, He does. That's God's desire for you. Marriage works 100% of the time. You have a 100% chance of success in marriage. You can make it in marriage if you determine to do marriage God's way. You were made for marriage. And unless you know you have a call to singleness or celibacy, you were made for marriage. So where do we start? Where do we begin when building a happy marriage or rebuild the marriage that we currently have so that it is a happy marriage? Anybody ever done any restoration work? I've restored 2 houses, and I have vowed to the Lord there will not be a third. Why is that? Because it always costs way more than what you anticipated. Why? Because you start tearing things out. All you wanted to do is replace it. But then you figure out that you've got to repair it. So there are some marriages here. God wants to do a little replacing, but I got a feeling He's going to do a lot of repairing. You know, you figure just new tile and new vanity for the bathroom, and then you get in, you find out, wait a minute, there's been a leak here for 20 years, and the floor's rotted out. But it wasn't visible. It became apparent as things begin to be uncovered. God wants to do some repair work in your heart. There's no such thing as a broken marriage. Just broken people trying to do marriage. Where do we start? Great marriages are built. Let's start right there. Great marriages are built. They are built. Everybody say built. I do does not equal I have. Hopefully, that's how you started your marriage out, with I do, not come on. That's the way they still do marriages, right? I do, not come on. Great marriages are built, and time alone doesn't build a great marriage, by the way. Many have endured a marriage, but they've not built a great marriage. You've endured, but you've not built anything. You've endured what's called marriage, but you have not purposefully, intentionally, fervently built your marriage. When we say I do, we enter in. What we do is we step in to a process of first being shaped into the image of Christ by God using our spouse. Oh, yeah. God wants to use our spouse to shape us and bend us, sometimes break us, so that we begin to take on the image of Christ. That is the ultimate goal, that we would all take on, that we would be image bearers of Christ the Son. And so He puts us in this wonderful factory called marriage. Marriage. God wants to use my relationship with my spouse to shape me. He wants to live, to lead, and to love like Jesus. Secondly, in marriage, He wants to use my willingness to love, to serve, and to honor my spouse in marriage to show the world how much Jesus loves them. He wants to use my marriage to show the world who He is. One of the greatest tools for evangelism, for reaching the lost, is a healthy marriage. So God wants to use our marriage so that we look like Jesus and then we show Jesus to the world. That's where we start. Where do we start? We start with the understanding that a good marriage has to be built. It has to be built. We don't just get, we have to build it. I do does not equal I have. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, and this is our only verse, this is actually going to serve as our text throughout this entire series. I only just want to read one verse to you. Here Paul is quoting for the book of Genesis, which actually records God's first words spoken to the first married couple, Adam and Eve. And look at what he says. For this reason, or for this purpose, what purpose? The purpose of marriage. For this purpose, for the purpose of marriage, man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And watch this, the two shall become one flesh. The two shall what? Become one flesh. Notice that the scripture doesn't say they will be one. Now, if you're reading King James, you'll notice that the transliteration, not the translation, the transliteration says in your Bible, the two will be one. But if you go back to the original meaning or the language in Hebrew, in fact, it says the two will become one. They will become one. That word become implies a process. It speaks of evolvement. It speaks of growth over the course of time. It speaks of being trained and also untrained. It speaks of things being added to our life and things being removed. Things becoming known and things that we have to unknow when we step in to marriage. Marriage is a process whereby two become or they grow into one. Now, most of us know that because we've heard this verse. We know it in our heads, but we don't understand the concept, the principle. We don't know what that looks like. We're two people, two individuals actually through time grow into one. This speaks of unity. It doesn't speak of sameness. We're going to spend a lot more time on understanding unity within marriage later. But God isn't saying that you need to become or act like your spouse. We're actually going to discover that opposites do attract. And actually, if you are opposites, that's good. God can do something wonderful with that reality. But to achieve unity, there must be humility. There must be understanding, a seeking to understand. There must be listening. There must be clear and honest communication. I want to say this real quickly. There's a lot of you that have unmet expectations in your marriage and you are frustrated. And you know why you have unmet expectations? Because you've not stated expectations. You've not been taught or walked in the courage of clear communication. Some of us are wanting our spouse to read our minds. The only thing they can hear is our mouth and our heart. And some of us are frustrated and we are hurting in our marriage simply because we've not learned the art and the beauty and the power of communication. We've not taken time. And I know that it takes courage. And I know sometimes before you can communicate, you have to spend time confronting. I understand that. It takes courage. But His grace is sufficient. You can do it. You can do it. And if you're going to experience a happy marriage, you're going to have to embrace this moment called communication, where I don't just speak words, I share heart. I share what I'm feeling. I share my fears. That's why our nation is in shambles right now, because nobody's just communicating. Everybody's talking, but nobody's sharing heart. We want everybody to hear our words when we do get the courage to speak. That's why some of us, when we speak so angrily. Because we've let it build up. We've not been disciplined in our relationship. We've not scheduled times for conversation. We've not made moments. And we've not opened doors. And we've not given permission to our spouse to, hey, you can say anything to me. I'm confident in my love for you. I'm confident in God's love for me. I'm confident in who I am. You can tell me. If I've hurt you, tell me. If I failed you, tell me. The only way I can change, the only way I can do better is if you tell me what I'm failing to do. Oh, but it's good to honor. Tell me where I'm winning. Tell me, do I ever get it right? You know? Picking up my socks, I mean, is that a win? You know? Can we go out to dinner because I picked up my socks, please, or something, you know? That's how it gets in my house, man. You know? Kids were celebrating your dad picked up and put away his shoes. Hey, you got to celebrate the little wins, guys. The scripture says here that the two will become marriage is a process whereby two grow in to one. And I want to encourage you, you're going to have to embrace that process. Now, some of you have endured the time of marriage, but you have not embraced the process of marriage. Well, Brad, we've been married 20 years. That's long enough. You should be a lot further than you are. But if the reality is that, you know what, Brad, I think that we are more enemies than friends after 20 years. You know, Scripture, Jesus even teaches us that if our adversary comes and he begins to touch on a point of brokenness in our life, I think it's Matthew chapter 5, he actually says, agree with your adversary. Right. In other words, he says, you know, take time to go, you know what, devil, you're right. You're right. You're right, I've messed up. I've stunk at this. I have failed God. But then you begin to point to who God is and what God can do and what God has done. Checkmate. See, Satan can accuse you, but he can't accuse Christ. The trouble for many marriages is that the two that are to become one want to remain two. Some of you today, your marriage is a very dysfunctional marriage because you're fighting for your way. You're fighting in your marriage instead of fighting for your marriage. Two people wanting the success or the fulfillment of two agendas, two sets of desires, two ideologies, two goals, fighting for their own dreams, their own desires, their own needs, and their own hopes, rather than discovering and seeking to serve the dreams, the desires, the needs, and the hopes of their spouse. Remember, Jesus, to win our love and affection, what did he do? He did not come to be served. He came to serve. Scripture says that he came to give up his life. To win our love and our affection, what did he do? He didn't come and demand it. He didn't come and get offended when we didn't give it. He didn't go silent and put a wall and a barrier between us and him. No, he came to us, and he came in the form of a servant. He put on a servant heart. Wow. And we're called to take on that image in our marriage. For many, marriage is a constant focus on getting rather than giving. It's a constant focus on getting rather than giving, and that's why there's no getting in your marriage. The reason why you're not getting is because you're not giving, or there's very little giving. Or you have been given, watch, because I know I can hear the arguments right now. I can hear them. Brad, you don't know me. I give and I give and I give. I wake up giving, I go to bed giving. No. Thank you for your effort. You get a cookie. We got cookies at the Welcome Center for those that. The problem is, it's not that you don't have a giving heart. It's that you're giving the wrong things. You've not sought to discover what the needs of the heart are in your spouse. And unfortunately, they may not even know what their needs are at this moment. They need somebody to pull that out. They need somebody to help them to go inward and discover who they are and what their needs are. Praise God for leadership. That's why God puts leaders in the body of Christ. That's why he puts Titus 2 in the Bible. The older teach the younger. See, sometimes instruction is not you need to do this. Instruction sometimes is you need to stop doing this. Sometimes instruction isn't you don't need to do anything. You just need to come to a reality of why you do what you do. We need to learn to uncover matters of the heart, not just address actions of the will. You know that every behavior is the fruit of a belief. As a man thinks, so is he. And some of us in our marriage, we think that if actions would just change, everything would be right. And that's what we'll do. We'll go 2 or 3 weeks trying to act right. But we've never addressed the matters of our heart. If you want the prize called a happy marriage, or what Jesus calls one flesh, you will have to say yes to this process of becoming one flesh. And once there, you're going to have to nurture. It's going to demand a life of nurturing, a focus, an intentional focus on feeding that oneness and continually, consistently, so that you enjoy a blessed marriage. You can't give up. Some have never said yes. Even though they've said yes to being married, they've never said yes to the process of becoming one. You live in the same house. You live in one house. You might have one bank account, but you're not one in the heart. You're not one in spirit. Many people, they've been together, but they've never become one. And there is a difference. There's a difference. Marriage is the blending of two separate hearts. That's, you know what that is? That's two ideas. Sometimes very opposite of one another. That's two ideologies. That's two visions. That's two sets of expectations. That's two experiences. That's two wills. Wow. I mean, I struggle with one. My own. That's two sets of dreams, two sets of desires, two unique designs. Two views. And that blending can either result in something very beautiful or it will result in something very broken. That blending will either be happy or it will be hurtful. If great marriages are built and not just had, my question is this. Do you have the right tools of understanding? It's amazing. We'll go and we'll spend 2 years in a trade school to learn a trade. We'll go 4 years to a college to learn, to receive education for a certain career. Some of us will go into years of training to learn how to do some specific job. But when it comes to our marriage and knowing how to do marriage and having a successful marriage, some of us have never spent one purposeful or intentional day, hour, learning how to do marriage. Oftentimes I wonder, what if we started to teach things in school that actually matter? Because I sure ain't used geography once. Or geometry. I've used geography. Yeah, Google Maps works every time. That geometry and trigonometry, my goodness. Who thought that up? That's the devil. You don't need that for anything in this life. If I want to be an engineer, I'll go be one. Do you, when you entered into your marriage, or do you currently, in your marriage, have the right tools of understanding and wisdom? Everybody know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowing how to rightly apply knowledge. It's a mixture of self-restraint. It's a mixture of courage. It's a mixture of understanding truth. Do you have the tools of understanding and wisdom to build a great marriage? Is your heart strong enough and your will humble enough? And notice I didn't ask if your will was strong enough, because some of y'all have stayed in your marriage out of sheer determination and nothing else. That's the only thing that's kept you there. Because you don't want to bear the shame, or you don't want to have to explain to this person why you were divorced. But you are there and you are discontent and you are hurting and you are confused. And every day you wake up to a potential battle. So my question is, do you have the tools of understanding and wisdom to build a great marriage? Is your heart strong enough? Is your will humble enough? Are your emotions well enough? And your desire great enough to journey the course towards God's gift of a winning and rewarding marriage? Because I do does not equal I have. I do says I will. That's what you're committing to. When you commit to marriage, you're committing to a process of growing and becoming one flesh. And for some, they get there a lot sooner than others. Unfortunately, there's some people that go to their grave married, but still not one flesh. Because they've never embraced the process. They don't even know the steps of that process. They don't even know the end result. They don't even know where God is taking them. They have no clue as to where God wants to take marriages. We all want a great marriage. We all want to come home to that dream marriage, don't we? But do we have the right tools to build a great marriage? Do you know what those tools are? I'll answer for most of us here today. Most of us do not know what those tools are. You might know some, but you don't know all. No, most of us entered into our marriage with little or without any understanding of why God has created marriage and what does it take to build a great marriage. Most entered into marriage without the proper tools of understanding and wisdom in order to build a great, resilient, vibrant marriage. Most were not shown by parents. I don't want you to raise your hand, but who can you point to in your family and say, that is a healthy marriage, that is a godly, that is a marriage that reflects Christ's love for His church right there? And if I was to ask you to raise your hand, there would be very little in this place. So whose fault is that? I'm going to take it to the church now. It's the church's fault. Now, God instituted the home. That's the very institution that He ordained. The second and the only other institution He has ordained is the church. Obviously, He's ordained governments and such to rule nations. But as far as establishing His kingdom on this earth, it starts with home and church. And the church has done a poor job. It has failed to equip the saints for the ministry of marriage. It's amazing to see how many want to win at marriage but have never trained for marriage. It's amazing how many want a happy marriage but have never taken the time to discover God's blueprint for marriage. And then take the season, however long that season may be, to build and put together the pieces of a happy marriage. They've never sat under one teaching on marriage. Not one book on marriage, not one Bible study on marriage, not one prayer that asks the Lord for insight. Now, we've prayed prayers like this: God, fix my husband, Lord. Fix my wife, God. Oh, if you don't fix her, God, I'm going to fix her for you. You know, we've prayed prayers like that, and it's always about fixing rather than transforming. And it's always prayers for the other. And we'll even, like, every now and then we'll include ourselves: Lord, give me patience. But you understand that to gain patience, you have to endure a process in the kingdom. He don't throw patience on you. He teaches you patience through endurance and with the right heart, attitude. Not one prayer that asks the Lord for insight. Not one prayer that says, God, how can I love and honor you by loving my spouse? none of us would be so foolish as to want to build a new home and set out to build that home without a set of blueprints. Not one of us. Do you know God's design? Do you know God's goal? Do you know the finished picture of marriage? Do you know what marriage is supposed to look when it has been assembled? And then begins the wonderful task, the rewarding task of nurturing and stewarding the marriage that we have built. Do you know the pieces that it takes to build a marriage? None of us would be so foolish to have the pieces on the job site, neglect to assemble them together, and still expect to enjoy the comforts and the safety of a new home. None of us would. We all know that the pieces must be assembled, yet that's where many of us are today in our marriage. Either we don't know the pieces, or we have been given the pieces and we have failed to assemble them in partnership with our spouse. Yet we want to enjoy the fulfillment, the comforts, the protection, the fruitfulness of a wonderful marriage. It takes more than a beautiful wedding to have a beautiful marriage. Great marriages are built. For this reason, two shall become one. Two shall become one. Two shall become one. Adam didn't do it. Eve didn't do it. They didn't honor the process. And we'll look a lot at Adam and Eve. And we'll look at where they went wrong. And I assure you that some of us will see ourselves in Adam and Eve. The greatest gift that you can give your spouse is a willingness to enter in that process of learning and applying God's principles and plan for marriage. That is the greatest gift you can give your spouse. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your dedication to remain married. But God wants to take you beyond just staying married, and He wants you to experience what it means to become one flesh. There is something to be commended for those of you that have remained faithful to your spouse. But God wants to take you beyond a place of mere commitment, and He wants you to enjoy the wonderful fruits of covenant. The greatest thing that you can give your children is a strong and a healthy, growing marriage. The greatest thing that you can contribute to the kingdom and the world that we are seeking to reach is a happy marriage. Begin learning through this series. I want to encourage you, get ready. Get ready to learn. Get ready to grow. God wants to bless you with the insights and the resources, the understanding, the wisdom, the grace, the healing, the passion, the joy, and the strength to build a strong marriage. In closing, I want to say a couple of things very specifically. Listen closely, listen intently. I want to ask you this. Have you ever said yes to the process of becoming one flesh? Have you ever said yes to the process of being fashioned, framed, molded into one flesh? Be honest with yourself. Not enduring the union. I'm not asking you, have you endured? I'm asking you, have you said yes to the process of learning, growing, serving, humbling yourself? You know that humbling yourself means that you've got to die to yourself. Many of our marriages are dying because there's been no death in us. And I'm not just talking about saying yes, but intentionally yielding, intentionally, purposefully, knowingly yielding, truly changing, truly growing in your understanding and your desire to know your spouse deeply, to serve your spouse greatly, and to welcome Jesus powerfully into the day-to-day relationship with your spouse. Have you done that yet? Have you said yes to the process where God uses your spouse to shape you and to surface some of the greatest treasures that you yourself, many of you, don't even know that's there? Have you said yes to that process where you lose you? You lose who you are and you step into who Jesus has designed you to be? Have you said yes to that process where you discover the calling and the purpose upon your spouse? And you serve him or her in such a way that it brings that calling to surface in a beautiful way. Your spouse needs you. Your spouse needs you in order for them to become who God's called them to be. Have you said yes to that process of discovering the hurts and the pains and the deficiencies? See, we all come into this life broken. And born in sin, Scripture says. What does that mean? That means we're prepackaged broken. And have you taken the time? Have you said yes to the process of discovering, not exposing, but discovering the broken pieces in your spouse's heart and being used as a minister, as a vessel of grace and mercy and love? Have you been used to bring healing to your spouse's heart and bring to surface their great calling and purpose in God? Man, if you could understand how amazing you are, how important you are, how important you are to God when it concerns the full measure of his call on your spouse. God could do it without you, but God has determined to not do it without you. He needs you. He wants you. Have you said yes to the process of discovering the hopes and the dreams in your spouse's heart? Of finding out the needs in their life so that you can better serve them? Have you said yes to that process whereby the Holy Spirit transforms your mind and your understanding, whereby he bends your will and uses you to heal? Have you said yes? Be honest with yourself this morning. This is what I know in my spirit, that many of us have not said yes. And you know why? You haven't been given the chance. For some of us here today, this morning, you're hearing, again, we've not said anything profound. We've just said truth that has been eternal. It's been there all along. We've just brought to light God's desire for your marriage. If you want to enjoy the prize and the promise of a happy marriage, the first thing you've got to do starting today is you've got to say yes to that process of becoming one flesh. Would you stand this morning? And I want to ask that we try to minimize all movement. I'm asking you to stand because I think we think better when we stand. We're going to finish in just a moment. For some of you here today, you've been in your marriage for some time. And listen to me. Listen very closely, please. I like this moment, and then I really don't like it. Because we think it's time to check out. And again, let me repeat. We've received the word. Now it's our time to respond to the word. Some of you, you're here today, and you've been in your marriage for some time. And this is the problem. You have worn your marriage incorrectly, and it's calloused your hearts. Some of you here today, you've been hearing everything that's being said, and the whole time, this has been your response. I sure wish my spouse would hear this. And right there's the problem. Right there's the problem. You don't believe that God is big enough to use you to heal your marriage. You believe that God has to start over there if it's going to be healed. That's doubt, church. That's what that is. And what that is that's such a calloused heart. That's a heart that is full of fear. That is a heart that has been let down so many times. And God is here to tell you today that, listen, I want to heal your marriage, and I want to use you to do it. Isn't that good? I want to use you to do it. I want to use you to do it. You've been in your marriage for many years incorrectly, and you are hurting. For some, it's hard for you to get excited about what can be because all you think about is what has been. Listen, you can't move forward always looking back. You can't. You can't. And some of us, we want justice back there. We want God to go back there and serve justice rather than letting the cross be enough. Rather than letting his blood be enough. Quit fighting for justice. Quit fighting for justice and fight for righteousness. Let mercy triumph over justice. Let it. Let mercy, extend mercy. See, you've tried to establish justice in your marriage. If he would just make his wrongs right, then everything would be right. If she would just make her wrongs right, then everything would be right. Why don't you try mercy? Because judgment isn't getting you anywhere. Justice and a fight for justice. Let God address the matters of justice and you extend mercy. Let your heart be filled with hope today. Some of you can't get excited about what God can do because you're thinking about what has been. And I want to encourage you today, let your heart be filled with hope. The hope of Jesus' promises. And you know what he declares? He declares, I make all things new. That includes marriages. That includes marriages. He says, I make all things new. Where does he start? He starts with you. He starts with you. If any marriage be in Christ, it's a new marriage. Cast off doubt and put on faith today. Put on faith today. Get your eyes off of what your spouse can do. And today, take a moment and get your eyes off of what your spouse has done or failed to do. That will be addressed. There is a moment for bringing those things to light and talking about the pain that it has caused. There is a moment for that, but it is not the first step. It is not the first step. And get your eyes focused on what God can do. God, get your eyes focused on what God can do and what God can do in your spouse. Oh, God loves your spouse. Oh, he loves your spouse. He loves your marriage. He loves your union. He loves the potential of your marriage. I want to pray over you right now. I want to pray over everyone that is feeling defeated. I want to pray over everyone that is feeling that your marriage is too far gone, or possibly that your spouse is too far gone. And you may be thinking, Brad, my spouse isn't even here. Well, guess what? God's power in prayer, or God, our prayer and God's power knows no bounds. I believe that. I believe that. I want to pray a simple one verse prayer over you, and then I'm going to pray over your marriage. Okay, I want to pray for us individually, and then I'm going to pray over our marriage. And I want, in that prayer, we're going to make declaration. We're going to declare a new season. We're going to declare today a new beginning. Today's going to be a new beginning. Do you believe that? There's going to be a new beginning for your marriage. I want to pray a prayer, and it's out of Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it simply says this, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. When does joy come? When does peace come? When does hope come? When you trust in him. Stop trusting in your spouse. Start trusting in him. Start trusting in him for your spouse. Start trusting in him for your marriage. May the God of hope fill you. How many needs to be filled today? May he fill you with all joy and peace. Oh man, you're going to sleep tonight like you never have before. You're going to have joy as you trust in him. Why? So that you, God, he loves you. He's focused on you so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you lift your hands for a moment? I want to pray over you individually. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now for your promise of Romans 15:13. And Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, according to the power of your word, according to the power of your desire for our life, Father, I pray that you would fill every heart in this place with joy and peace. You are a God of hope. You are a God who awakens dreams. You are a God who lifts us from sorrow. And I pray right now that you would fill every heart right now with joy and peace. And Father, give them the grace to trust you. And God, may they overflow and may they abound in this day, in this moment, in this hour. May they abound and overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, declare amen. 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 I believe that. I believe that. I believe that we receive when we ask. Now, I want to pray for your marriages. I want to pray over your marriage. And I want to do it a little different, because normally when we're talking about our marriage, we kind of get the consent of our spouse before we make any commitment concerning our marriage. And I understand sometimes that the wounds are so deep that we fight this whole, some of us even right now, we're fighting these feelings. Well, I want this, but I don't even think my wife thinks I want a better marriage. Or my husband thinks I want something better. We fight so much condemnation. We fight so much shame. Father, I pray right now against shame. I break the power of shame right now. I break the power of condemnation. I break the power of debt, right, doubt in the name of Jesus. I want to pray over your marriage, and I don't want us to consent or confer with our spouse this morning. There's going to be many moments throughout this series where we're actually going to turn to our spouse. And singles, you're going to position your heart for your future spouse in those moments. But I want to add, I don't want you to confer with your spouse. I simply want to talk to you concerning your marriage. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I need to know where you're at. But I want to ask you, first of all, just with a raise of hands, if this would be you. Brad, I want God to do something new in my marriage. If that's you, raise your hand. Leave it raised. God, I want you to do something new. Just want to get an idea. God, I want you to do something new in my marriage. You don't even have to know what that looks like. Okay? If you knew what it looked like, it wouldn't be new. God, I want you to do something new in my marriage. All right, put your hands down. That's wonderful. Praise God. Oh, man, you're a good church. I love you. Singles, just with a raise of hands, I want God to provide for me and build me, shape me, so that I step in to a good marriage. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? It's wonderful. Singles, you do not need to feel less valued in this house because there's married couples around you. Okay? You do not need to feel less of a person. You do not need to feel that you don't have the same worth. So much that God wants to do in you and through you in this season of your life as a single. Now, second question is this. Brad, I believe that God can do. Not only do I want Him to do, but I believe that God can do something new in my marriage. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? See, it's one thing to want it, and it's another thing to believe that God can give it. It's another thing to believe that God can grant it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, church. Now, this is my last question, and this is where it gets real. Brad, I believe that God wants to give me a new marriage. And I believe that He wants to work in me and through me to do it. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? God, I believe that you want to give me a new marriage, but I understand that you want to use me. And I know that you want to do a work in me and through me to bring it about. Praise God. See, that's where it happens. That's where it happens, church. God wants to do something for you, but he doesn't want to do something for you apart from you. God wants to use you to bring healing and a new season to your marriage. I want to pray over your marriage. Now, if you have your spouse with you, grab their hand right now. It might be the first time in many years. I want to encourage you, start holding hands more. Just sit on the couch and hold hands. Let your kids see you holding hands. Press through the pain. Press through the fear. Press through the discomfort. I want to pray over your marriage right now. Those of you that are single, we're praying over your future marriage. If that's your desire, if you do not have a desire to be married, it's okay. You do not need to feel any condemnation or anything of that nature. I want to pray over your marriage. Can we just go before the Lord right now in a place of believe and receive? We receive right now. Father, I declare life and I declare a new beginning over every single marriage here today. God, we declare this day, January 29th, 2017, is a day of new beginnings for our marriage. Today marks a new season and a turning point for the marriages of this house. I want to break the curse of death. I want to break the curse of destruction off of every marriage. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the destructive power of dissension and disagreement and arguments off of every single marriage. Today, in the name of Jesus, we break the paralyzing power of pain from marriages, past failures. We break off the residue of past failures over every single marriage today. It's a new day for your marriage. It's a new day. I want to declare over every heart and every mind a new desire for the knowledge of truth and godly principles. God, I pray that you'd awaken a hunger in each of us to know the word and to do the word, because it's the truth that makes us free. It's a knowledge of truth that makes us free. It's the application of truth that makes us free today. And Father, I pray right now that you would awaken a desire, a longing in every heart to know what they've never known, so that they can experience what they've never experienced, so that they can have what they've never had. Father, I pray right now in their hearts, God, Lord, that there would become a hunger and a thirst for righteousness concerning their marriage. I pray for the heart that is broken and worn out. I pray, Holy Spirit, I ask you to breathe life into hope again. I pray faith over that one today. I pray renewed vision for what God can do despite what has been done. Come on, church, let's believe God for what he can do despite what has been done. God is able. Come on, you can rejoice in that. You can rejoice in that. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that you make all things new. You make all things new. I want to pray over our singles. I want to pray over every single. If you're single in the house and you have a desire to be married, would you just lift your hands right now? We want to pray over you. Church family, let's come into agreement on behalf of our singles. I want to pray for a longing for learning over every single that is here today, God. Father, I pray, Lord, I want to pray against a painful marriage. Father, I pray, God, that you would preserve them and protect them from a painful marriage. God, position them now so that they don't have to endure seasons of pain then. God, I pray, God, that you, Lord, would fill their heart with the knowledge of your word. Lord, you've ordered their footsteps. Give them the grace to walk in them, God. Father, I pray. I want to pray for a tamed passion and a submitted will, that you won't marry prematurely, nor will you marry someone contrary to God's design for you. Father, I pray, God, that you would help them discern their will as opposed to God's will. And I pray that their will would align with your will. I pray that their will would bend and be submitted to your will. I pray that they would take your yoke upon them. And Father, I pray that you would help them to walk in discipline, self-control. Father, that you, God, would keep them from awakening passions before it's time. Father, that you would give them, Lord, their spirit would be bridled. And Lord, that they would find contentment in knowing you. They would find contentment in loving you. They would find contentment in serving you. And we declare this over our single brothers and sisters today in the name of Jesus. Now here is your homework. Oh yeah, you got homework. This is going to be a process. But before next Sunday, you need to make the time right now. You need to make the time. And you need for some of us to lay down our pride. And if you want God to heal and transform your marriage from what it is to what He desires it to be, you're going to have to renew your commitment. You're going to have to renew your commitment. You're going to have to renew it. We renew commitments through confession. Confession is made with the mouth. We believe in the heart, but we confess it with our mouth. And before next Sunday, you're going to have to take just a few minutes. Make sure the kids aren't screaming and the TV's off. And make sure it's not at midnight when you're half asleep, okay? Find the right moment. Go out to dinner if you want. And you say, well, we don't have the finances for dinner. Okay, don't go out to dinner, okay? Don't go in debt. Or we'll have to get another series after this, okay? Find the time. Find the moment where you can look one another in the eye. Here, you can take a picture of this. And I want you to confess this before next Sunday. Simple words. I'm ready to begin again. I'm ready to begin. I'm ready to start over. I'm ready. Don't know what it looks like, but I'm ready. You know what? You don't have to know what it looks like if you have a good shepherd, because he's going to lead you. I'm ready to begin again, and I'm willing to learn what I've not known. Man, right now, confess. You confess this to your spouse immediately. That heart will start to heal. There's going to be some heat in the house. I'm willing to learn what I've not known. I'm willing to do what I've not done. And I want to learn to love you like I've never loved you before. You do that this week. Do that this week before next Sunday. Because next Sunday we're jumping in the deep end. And I want you to swim. Before next Sunday, confess this. I'm ready to begin again. And I'm willing to learn what I've not known. I confess to you, I don't know everything. You may be an expert in some things. But go ahead and humility admit you don't know how to do marriage. I'm willing to do what I've not done, and I want to learn to love you like I've never loved you before. That's powerful. Amen? Amen. Well, speaking of marriages, we have a wedding coming up. Oh, yeah. It's actually going to happen here right after service on February 12th, and it's a Mr. Jerry Brown and Caitlin McAllister right here. Can y'all raise your hand? Right here, raise your hand, everybody. Right here. Of course, all of us know Miss Caitlin. She's been a wonderful gift to this house. I had the wonderful chance to spend some time with Jerry. And I want to tell you, there's a pure heart in this man. He's a godly man. He has a passion to know the Lord. If you don't know Jerry, this is your invitation to get to know him. And I want you to get to know Jerry. He's a wonderful man. And he's going to make a wonderful husband. And Jerry's been a part of building the church for many years. And he's gone through a lot of seasons in his life. And I'm just really excited to celebrate this occasion with Jerry and Caitlin. And so we're going to be marrying them on February 12th, right after service. If you would like to stay, I'm going to do a really short ceremony, all right? And then we'll have us a married couple in the house. So we want to celebrate. And then last, Thank you for allowing us to go a few minutes longer today, but it's important. I want to introduce to you a couple that God has recently blessed Restoration House with. Is Brent and Megan Lax in this service? Right there. Is your wife out tending to children possibly? Brent, come here, brother. Come here. You got to go on, come on stage for this, all right? Oh, yeah. Come on up. Everybody, say hello, Brent. Y'all know this guy right here? I didn't either. But Brent and his wife, Megan, and she'll be up here maybe in just a second. And they're wonderful. Look at this cute, handsome boy they got. Megan, come on up. Look at him. Aren't you glad God makes babies cute? Well, Brent and Megan, God has sent this wonderful family to us for a season. We have no idea how long, but we're going to enjoy them while they're here. Brent and Megan have been serving in ministry. They've been in pastoral ministry for us for quite some time, and they've come to us for a season of rest. And the Scripture teaches us to give double honor to those who have labored in the Word. And God was using Brent in a wonderful way and Megan to just touch and reach a lot of people. And so that they are here to just rest and be restored and renewed. And I'm just honored that of all the churches and all the spiritual families that God could send you to, He would send you to us. And we don't take that lightly. And so we want them to find that here. We want them to find rest. Amen? We want them to experience a Sabbath, a season of just being strengthened and renewed in their vision. There are visions and dreams in this couple that I don't even know about. But God has some big plans for this couple. And we want you to prosper in this season. And so we're going to pray over you this morning. And we're going to pray life and strength and just we're going to bless their marriage. And they're not having any trouble in their marriage, by the way. Okay. But we're going to pray strength to their marriage. Brent's acting right. That's why they're on course. No, but we just want to love them in this season. Amen? Can we do that, church? Somebody bless this couple sometime. Take them out to eat. Get to know their story. Okay, don't go to McDonald's. Okay, go big time. All right? Arby's. I do too. Arby's is great, man. All right? I'd like to go too. But I really like El Bracero. Okay. You like El Bracero? All right. They like El Bracero too. Okay. So let's bless them today. Can you just extend your hand towards them? And truly, let's bless them today. Father, I thank you for Brent and Megan, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the years of faithfulness, faithful labor. Thank you, Lord, for the years of sacrificial labor. Thank you, God, for the investment, God, for the times that no one was watching, God. You were watching. You saw them in their time of prayer. You saw them laboring over the Word, God. You saw them loving the unlovable. You saw them loving when it was hard. God, you've watched them endure seasons of pain and hardship. Lord, you've watched, Lord, you've listened to the cry of their heart. You know their dreams. You know their desires, God. And Father, I just pray over this family, Lord, a season of great rest. I pray for them that it would be a season of strengthening, Lord, renewing, a season of growth. Father, I pray that they would come out of this season better. Better, not bitter, better. Father, I pray that they would come out of this season, Lord, with a bigger dream, a bigger vision, God, for ministry and what you want to accomplish through their family and because of their union and marriage, Father. Lord, I bless them today. I bless every facet of their life today, Lord, with the touch and the hand of God. And we thank you, Lord, for sending them to this house. Of all the places you could have sent them, Lord, you've sent them to us. Lord, we will be faithful to love them in this season, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Love you guys. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. All right. Before you leave today, hug somebody's neck and tell them, man, that was good today. That was good. And you're dismissed. Have a wonderful Sunday.